Morning, Evangel. Good to see you here. We know others will join us as we go through the service. We know lots of our members are away on vacation, but we are glad to see you. And for those of you tuning in online, we welcome you as well. We ask you to stand and join us as we sing this morning.
Gospel to the world. Well, if this is your first Sunday at Evangel, I just want to say welcome. On behalf of the pastoral staff, our volunteer teams, we are excited that you are here this morning. In the chair pocket in front of you, there is a welcome card, and we do encourage you to fill that out. That way, we can connect with you. If there's anything you need for us to come alongside you, we would love to be able to do that. So if you fill that card out and take it to the information desk on your way out this morning, there'll be a free gift for you, and then we can contact you as you need. Just a few announcements, mostly related to our youth and our young adults. I just want to remind all our students that this week there is going to be youth at the church. We're going to be meeting back outside at the Stewart Hall doors for our annual Paint War event. So wear something you don't mind getting messy. It's going to be a lot of fun. Our students love this event. But on August 26th, we are going to Wonderland. Our youth and our young adults combined will be taking the trip down for the day. Now, just a few important details. Our youth and our young adults are responsible for their own tickets. However, we are providing rides. So just make sure of that. And to let us know you are coming, we need to make sure we have enough seats available. So please sign up. Let me know or follow the link in our Instagram bio for our students who do follow that page. Please sign up by next Saturday, August 19th, so we have enough a time to be able to divvy out spots and make sure we have enough rides available. It's going to be a fantastic event, August 26th. We cannot wait for that end of summer event. At this point in time, I'd like to invite all our kids. We do have a nursery open all throughout service for ages 0 all the way up to age 4. You can go down there. There are volunteers there to help you with your children. But kids grades 1 to grade 5, you can meet your volunteers at the doors to go down to Kids Church at this time. And ushers, I'd like to invite you to come forward to take up this morning's tithes and offerings. Thank you. I'll turn it back over to the worship team this morning.
You can remain seated for a few moments. We'll invite you to stand and join us.
Who pulled me out? What a a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King.
Jesus,
what a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name. Jesus. cleansing love now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down, it covers me. It covers me.
The wafer on top and the juice on the bottom. You're probably masters at this, but I had to open mine in advance because it can be tricky. You just push down on the tab and then it'll release the wafer on top and then you can continue to the rest. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 24 says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and he said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's eat together this morning. Verse 25 to 26 says, "In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.'" Let's participate together. So God, we worship you in this place. God, we stand amazed, humbled, in awe of the sacrifice you have made for us. God, the symbols we just participated in are just reminders of how much you loved us, that you still love us. God, that you died for us. May the magnitude and the weight of that sacrifice, of that truth, just rest on our hearts this morning. God, that you love us so much. We thank you, Lord. We worship you for who you are, for all you are doing in our lives, in our community. We thank you that we have you as a wonderful, loving, graceful Savior. We thank you that you never let us go.
It covers me.
Amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you, worship team, for leading us so beautifully. Well, at this time, I'd like to introduce John and Beverly Stewart. They have quite the legacy in this church. I'm sure John will talk about it a little bit, but not to take away, but Pastor Shannon did want to introduce them himself this morning, so let's go ahead and play the video.
Good morning, everyone. I wish I could be there in person today to introduce to you my good friend, John Stewart. Ray and Eileen Stewart, John's parents, planted EPC back in 1963 and then faithfully served for 26 years. John grew up at EPC and later served on pastoral staff. John and I first met during our Bible college years at Eastern Pentecostal Bible College, and we've been friends ever since. Presently, John is working for ERDO, Emergency Relief and Development Overseas, a ministry of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. John will share a little bit about that this morning. So would you join me in welcoming John to share at EPC this morning? God bless you.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor Shannon. And thank you for the... I'm sure he's watching live right now. It's beautiful, isn't it? No, I know it's a video. Great to be here today, and it's a pleasure to be with you for the service this morning. It's been a few years since I was here for a service. I found out this, well, I just heard from Pastor Shannon. In 1963, my dad founded the church, which makes this church about 60 years old by my calculations. I actually came to speak at the church on the 50th anniversary, so I saw some old friends, and I met some new friends, and I'm glad to be back today. It's great to see familiar faces. Peter and Sonia, I saw you come in. I've seen other faces. Mike on the soundboard, who is, I think, part of the soundboard now. He's been there so long on tech. And Mary Farrow, who, poor Mary, put up with me. When I was a young boy, I went to Mary's house every day to hang out with Dave. And they actually wrote a song about me and the family. Not Mary, but the rest of the family. It was "Little Johnny Wanny Won't Go Home" is what they sang. And that's a true story. Dave specifically, but Debbie and the bullies in that family all picked. No, I'm teasing. It's great to be here today. Familiar faces are wonderful to encounter, aren't they? Most of the time, they are. Some of you will be familiar with the name Tony Campolo. He tells a story when he was still teaching in Pennsylvania. He went one day on a rainy day to his closet, and he went to grab an umbrella before he left to go to work, and there were no umbrellas in his closet. He'd left them all in the office. So he got to the subway station, walked down on the stairs and on the platform, and went on to his subway car and rode to a stop. And when his stop was announced, without thinking, he reached down and grabbed the umbrella of the woman next to him. And he started to leave with her umbrella. She said, "Young man, that's my umbrella." He apologized profusely and thought nothing more of it. At the end of the day, his wife called his assistant and said, "Please have Tony pick up all the umbrellas from the closet at the office and bring them home." So sure enough, he went in. There were four of his personal umbrellas that he'd left in the office. So he put those four umbrellas under his arm. He walked back to the subway station, walked down the steps, walked across the platform, and he encountered a familiar face. He ran into the woman whose umbrella he had tried to steal in the morning. She looked at him, and he looked at her, and she said, "Well, I see you've had a good day of it." Today is a very special day for me to be back with you, for sure. And Pastor Shannon and I, we met for breakfast a number of weeks ago. He didn't tell this part of the story. We met in our first year. We were in the same graduating class. Pastor Shannon needed, I had a car, and he didn't have a car. His brother lived here in Oakville. I don't know if he still does, but his brother lived in Oakville, and so I often would drive Shannon to visit his brother. On Friday, I'd drop him off, and Sunday night, we'd come back after the service. And so on the Sunday, we're driving back, and as we're driving along, just Shannon and I in the car, he said, "So how long have you gone to that evangel church?" And I said, "Well, most of my life." And he said, "That pastor is really old." And I said, "Yeah, Yeah, he said, he's the oldest pastor I've ever seen. I said, that's my dad. He had no idea that Ray Stewart was my dad. And so he gave me money after that to quiet the whole thing down. It was great. Well, when we met for a couple months ago for a breakfast, I talked to Pastor Shannon. He invited me to come and share about the latest ministry that I'm involved in. I've pastored in Ontario, in Manitoba, in Alberta. But for the last, since April, I began a role at Erdo. How many know, and I'm not going to judge you too much by your answer, how many say, I know exactly what Erdo is. I have a great picture of what Erdo is. Okay, how many of you would say, I've heard of it, but I don't know a lot about it? How many would that be, okay? How many would you say, I have no knowledge of Erdo, it's a strange thing you're speaking of, what is this Erdo? Okay, I'm going to have an altar call after the service for those who just raised their hand, but I'm also going to forgive you. Erdo, as Pastor Shannon said on his video, is an acronym. And Erdo is Emergency Relief and Development Overseas. And Erdo, as Pastor Shannon said, is the PAOC, our Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. It's our humanitarian ministry. And I'll tell you a little bit about, Pastor Shannon wanted me to kind of let you know, because he thought maybe many of you wouldn't have a lot of idea about it. So let me walk through briefly an introduction about what Erdo is, and then I'll share a message at the end, if you'll let me do that. Let me start by, first of all, talking about the origins of Erdo, the origins. How many remember, and I know some of you are too young to remember this, but do you remember in 1983, around 82, 83, there was an incredible famine in Ethiopia. On television, the images of children with bloated stomachs were just breaking hearts. How many? Some of you would remember that. There was a song written that year. I wish Erdo wrote it, but we didn't. It was by Bob Geldof. And Bob Geldof wrote the song, Do They Know It's Christmas Time at All? And that's a song that you'll still hear on the radio every year. He got together a bunch of artists. They recorded it, and it became a fundraiser for the famine in Ethiopia. Well, the same time Bob Geldof was writing his songs, he was a musician, we did, as a PAOC, what we could do. And we began a humanitarian organization. For all our ministry, all our 100-plus years of ministry, the PAOC has been a humanitarian organization. But in 1983, we were formalized with the beginnings, the origins of Erdo. The mission, let me talk to you a little bit about the mission of Erdo. Erdo, it's a Christian organization passionately responding to the practical needs of people living in poverty or crisis around the world. That's the mission. Erdo, when we began in 83 and to this day, that is what we're all about, meeting the needs of people in crisis or poverty. Our vision, we seek Christ-motivated community and individual transformation by meeting basic human needs and fostering social and economical and spiritual potential. So Erdo seeks to meet the needs, incredible needs that people have around the world. You know, a lot of our missions efforts in the PAOC and in other denominations has been to go and to plant churches or to teach Bible college, and those things are so important. I know there are people here that have been involved in missions work, or your family was. Those are incredible pursuits, and I just think so highly of our missionaries who are called to do that. But the vision of Erdo has been to go beyond just telling people about the message, to go beyond just the proclaiming of the message, and to actually begin to try to meet some of the needs that they encounter. You've heard it said before that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I've thought about it, and you've heard this maybe said before as well. When people's stomachs are growling so loud, sometimes they cannot hear the message that you're trying to share. So Erdo seeks to meet those needs of poverty. Now, I'm talking about Erdo, and I can tell you Erdo is an incredible organization, and it is. It's got a great reputation within our Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, but not simply within the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. We are well recognized beyond the walls of the PAOC. I'll tell you that there is something called the Canadian Food Grains Bank, and we are part of the Canadian Food Grains Bank, and they are meeting the financial and the feeding needs of the world, and Erdo's a part of that. We are so well regarded that oftentimes the Canadian Food Grains Bank, or even our Canadian government, in the case of an extreme drought or poverty like happened in Ethiopia back in 1983, they will offer matches. In other words, if you give money to Erdo, the government will match it. Sometimes it's a one-to-one offer, sometimes two-to-one, three-to-one. There's currently, I'm not making an appeal for this today, but I'm just reporting that currently there's a need in Somalia where 50% of the population is starving to death. Erdogan, our other international partners, have been since January feeding 1,000 families a week. But the government has said, and Canadian Food Grains Bank has said, we will match 4-to-1 if people want to give to Somalia. So we are continuing to meet needs as we have from the beginning. And you've got the slide up there. I can't see it. It's kind of dark. But Charity Intelligence Canada rates Erdo as a 5-star charity. 5-star. We are transparent financially, and we have good results reporting great. People ask me every week, I heard McLean's magazine used to rank you really highly. And almost every week when I'm speaking, somebody brings that up. And McLean's used to have a ranking all the time of charities. They don't anymore. But Erdo was in the top 20% of humanitarian charities in Canada every year, year after year. So now, it's just an incredible opportunity sometimes with those matching gifts to meet needs that there are. Anyway, let me continue with some of the things that Erdo does. Erdo every year distributes about $9.3 million of resources to help people in need. It serves in an average of 30 churches per year. It cares for about 8,300 Child Care Plus sponsored children. It responds to crises as they occur. That's the emergency, the E of Erdo, the emergency response and development. So often when there is an emergency that takes place, the Erdo will be on top of that, and we will send out an appeal and churches partner. And I know in the past, you here at Evangel have given to that ministry. I'm so thankful for that. Let me just tell you that it's not, I'll tell you about Erdo a little bit when we're meeting these needs. It's not like we're every single country where a crisis happens and we can be there. Erdo has 33 international partners. So if Erdo does not have a representative, like a missions global worker, one of our PAOC global workers, if Erdo doesn't have someone and the PAOC doesn't have someone in that area, then we have 33 international partners, trusted agencies, from Christian agencies, from other places where we'll support them and get the money in their pocket the next day when a crisis starts to start helping out with people. So I like to say there are three legs on the Erdo stool. One of them is crisis response that I've talked about a little bit. And I'd like to show you, do you remember the earthquake in Turkey this year in February? Well, we've got international partners on the ground that we have been supporting. I'd like to let you take a look at that video, if you would. And let's take a look right now at the earthquake crisis in Turkey.
Yani şimdi herkesin aslında aklında belki yarın başka bir şey yapacaktı ama bir anda kimse bilemez yani yarın deprem olacağını veya başka bir şey olacağını. Ve bir bakmışsınız ki yani şu an buradayız. Ki benim şu anda okulda olmam lazımdı. Veya şu an evde olmam lazımdı ama ya hayat böyle. Yapacak bir şey yok. İleriyi göremeyiz. Geleceği göremeyiz.
Deprem başladığında çok garip bir hissim olmuştu. Yani şaşırdım aniden. Sonra annem deprem olduğunu söyleyince öyle bir korktum ki.
Arabada kalmak, yani uyumak bayağı zordu. Çünkü dik bir şekilde ya burada oturduğum gibi uyumak zorundasın. Birkaç gün sonra da işte camiye geçmek zorunda kaldık. Yani arabada daha fazla kalınmaz.
Üçüncü depreme biz camide yakalandığımız ama çok sallansak da herkes sanıyormuş ki sanki top gelmiş gibi sanıyormuş onlar da benim isim gibi. Sonra ben deprem olduğunu anladığım gibi herkesi ben kendim teker teker çıkardım ama en sonunda kendim çıktım. Sonra cami yıkılacak gibi olmuştu. Hemen ben de çıktım. Herkesi uzak yerlere götürdüm ve cami yıkıldı.
Yani tarihte yüz binlerce ölü verdiği depremler de var burada. Ama insanları buranın umut dolu insanlar. Ben buraya tekrar dönüp bu bölgeyi inşa edeceklerine yürekten inanıyorum. Biliyorum zaten. Bunun böyle olacağını da biliyorum. Hem de harita çizmek şeyinde olsak da insanların buraya tekrar gelip mükemmel olan sosyal hayatı tekrar kuracağına inanıyorum ben bu bölgede.
The best way for us to be praying as a church globally is for the world response to continue, that people won't forget about this tragedy in a couple of weeks' time. When the news has moved on, these people's needs will still not have been met. We're giving them food and clothing and water and other things, but what they really need to do is rebuild their lives. What we're also doing is working with the church locally, and the church is right here being active, saying we're here, we're trying to find everything that you need, but we're also being a friend in need at the same time.
Crisis is out of the newspaper. People stop concentrating on. I think recently to the war in Ukraine, where it's. I mean, I cannot believe it's still. It's more than a year already happening, and yet there's been great support that's been given through Erdo to that as well as Turkey. We also are involved in another area. One of the other legs of the stool is child sponsorship. And some of you I know have been involved in sponsoring children with Erdo or with other organizations, and God bless you for the faithful support that you've given to them. I'd like to show you quickly a video as well about our Child Care Plus, another one of the legs of the stool.
We're in Sinsuk Village, which is a village with over 10,000 families, and we are in village number 5, which has 20,000 families in this tiny little area.
I am global worker Tiffany Rowley here in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. Here in Cambodia, my main role is Child Care Plus, and we have 13 different CCP communities throughout the country in 7 different provinces. And what that looks like is you as a sponsor would sponsor a child for $41 a month through Child Care Plus. And that provides education, school supplies, school uniforms, a nutritional supplement each month, medical care, and all the way through to post-secondary college or a trade. And so those are all the things that my office take care of here in Cambodia. The communities that we work with here in Cambodia range from rural poverty to urban poverty. And so we have a big dynamic amongst the children and the families that we work with. And in this community in particular, which is where we are today in Sinsuk, the communities here do not have access to their own land. They have no land rights. Water and sanitation is very difficult. Some have it, some don't. And so we are working directly with those families, not just to alleviate some of the physical aspects that they are walking through, but to bring holistic development to who they are in Christ as well. The chiefs and the elders of these communities are coming to us, and they're wanting more kids in the program. And it's because they see that the families of CCP are different than the families in their surrounding areas. And I'm happy to say that that is because of a transformed life, because of the gospel. When you sponsor a child, you're actually able to stop not only the cycle of poverty through education, but through the family dynamics, you are able to stop human trafficking. When a mom comes to know the Lord, the value of life changes for that family. She will no longer allow her kids to be put in vulnerable situations. She will no longer allow them to be sold for sex. The dad, when he comes to know the Lord, all of a sudden has a value for his wife and his children. And so child sponsorship is essentially ending the cycle of abuse in various forms here in Cambodia. We're right at the very cusp of having our CCP kids graduate grade 12, go to post-secondary, go to university. And already, even though they're in their university studies, they are giving back to their community through teaching English and music in the church or in the community center. And they have a desire to see the families in their communities where they once were to also be changed as they are being changed. To those of you who've sponsored kids currently and in the past through Child Care Plus, I want to say a huge thank you. Your investment is for the children of tomorrow. These kids are growing up knowing the Lord and wanting their nation to be changed, not just for Him, but in the physical sense as well. They are not satisfied to have the Cambodia that they grew up with be the Cambodia of tomorrow, and they desire change, and that is what's going to happen.
Aspects of Erdo's ministry. We have crisis response, we have Child Care Plus, which is the child sponsorship. I would like to talk to you, before I get to the community development part, which is the third leg of the stool, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the differences between Erdo and some of the other organizations that maybe you're aware of. I won't mention other names, but you're familiar with some of the other good and I say good because they do a good work, humanitarian organizations. The difference between Erdo and some of the others is a greater accountability, and I'll tell you why I say that. When there's a Child Care Plus, or when there's a crisis response, or when there's a project, and I've got countless projects that are at my table, you can see them or you can find them on erdo.ca, but when there is a project that's being looked after or administered, one of our Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada missionaries, one of our global workers, is going to be personally responsible. For an example, when they're sponsoring children, there's not just a bunch of money that we throw at a community, say, hey, we want to look after these kids and we want to make sure they're looked after. But a specific missionary is spotting the needs in that community. These are the kids that are in abject poverty. They'll contact our office and say, we have 15 kids in this village that we need sponsors for. And so that's the incredible thing. If there's a crisis response that's taking place, one of our PAOC missionaries, so I would say as a credential holder with the PAOC, one of our family members are responsible. There is incredible accountability because of that. And the one thing that Tiffany said on that video that shocks me every time is when she said the thing about, how the value of life changes. And the fact that she said, when a mother comes to Christ, she'll no longer let her children be in vulnerable positions. And then she said she won't let them be sold for sex. We hear that in Canada. We hear that in Oakville on August 13th, 2023. And we think, that cannot be real. But friends, it is. When people do not know Christ in desperation in these countries where they need our support, There's no other way to make ends meet, to live. And that is what sadly happens in these cases. And so I want you to know that when we sponsor a child or when we are helping in a crisis, we're not just doing a little bit of work. We are doing something that leads to the third leg of the stool. Community development takes place. When these kids are sponsored, when we help out with somebody get back into their property after a tornado or earthquake or has devastated their living conditions, we are lifting up that community. When kids come and get sponsored, they come to church. The plus of Child Care Plus in our name is that they're exposed to the gospel. And they get saved. And when they get saved, the community is transformed. The former CEO of Compassion Canada is a Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada credential holder. And he said, John, when one child comes to Christ, and they will come to Christ, four other family members will come to Christ with them. And so that is the community transformation that we're seeking to do. We're trying to help with the nutritional intake of families. We are if the soil is no longer receptive because it's worn out, we will help with implements, will help with new farming techniques. When women have been sold into slavery, Erdo's part of a team that is trying to rescue those people. We've got something called the 365 campaign, which simply means every single day of the year we're supporting women who are going through crises. And friends, the reality is in Canada we have not equity all the time either. There's great debate in the last number of years about equal pay for men and women, which we know it should be equal pay. We get that. Well, in terms of having to be sold into slavery, it's a little bit of a first world problem. And we are trying to support women every single day of the year by setting them up with microloans, by letting them set up a shop and be rescued from the life that they've had to live and to begin to become self-reliant. And we are just involved. Erdo's doing so many incredible projects. I can't even begin to talk about, because I only have, I know, till 12:30 this morning, or till 1:30, or no, I'm teasing. But I don't want to take a long time. I want to get into the devotional, if I can, of the day as well. I want to say this to you. Those are the three stools: crisis response, child sponsorship, community development. If I believe Erdo's making a difference in all these areas, and I would love to talk to you about it after the service. Not for an appeal's sake, but just for information's sake, so you could be knowing and praying for the ministry. Let me just say one thing before I get into the Word of God today. It's this. It's thank you. I want to say thank you today, because Evangel has been involved in past years in Erdo. We were formed in 1983, as I mentioned. Evangel has made commitments and made contributions to Erdo over the years of $7,700. I looked at it last night. I can see what church has given, how much. And I am so thankful for that generosity that you've sown in the past, and look forward to a future partnership with both the church and individuals as like. I'd love to talk to you about that. Let me look at the Word of God with you today. And I don't want to do it quickly. I want to take ample time, but I also want to be cognizant that you are going to be ready to go at some point. How many can look forward every morning when you get up to your morning coffee? How many look forward? Okay, next question. How many of you need your morning coffee, or you're in trouble? I appreciate that honesty. That's great. You know what caffeine deprivation headaches feel like. I do as well. How many can relate to the idea of feeling a little faint? You don't get enough to eat. Maybe it's around supper time and you're starting to feel hangry. You know what I'm talking about. I've got some nods happening. Yeah. Sadly, the same guy that's addicted to coffee admits that he's hangry as well. Let's pray for his wife right now if we can. I'll be honest with you. Even though I can admit to being hungry at times, and I'll have a growling stomach, I might have one now even, I've never really been hungry in the true sense of the word. I've never been hungry to the extent that my body and my organs start to cannibalize themselves in order for me to stay alive. Oh, I say things like, I'm starving. But then I go to the fridge and I open it, and then I complain. What do we complain about? We've got nothing to eat in our fridge full of food. It's ludicrous, because we live in a culture that on New Year's Day, we all make decisions, don't we? We all make resolutions about the coming year. Resolutions. I want you to know that I have kept all of my resolutions that I made in January. I've kept them in the top drawer. I've got a list right there in the top drawer. It's there. But no, we make resolutions. We say, I'm going to starve I'm going to lose weight. Do you know what? In countries like you saw a video of today, the idea of depriving oneself of food is just beyond the pale. They would not understand what we are talking about. We live in a culture where we have so much that we actually throw out food, where these people are starving, so many of them. I want you to know that the world that Jesus came to when he was beginning his ministry, when he was born, it was a lot different than the world that we are living in today. I don't think we know what it's like to be 2 or 3 days away from starvation, but that is the world that Jesus came into. And it was the kind of experience that Jesus himself had when he went into the wilderness to fast, to go without food and water for 40 days. And I think that incident happened for a number of reasons. I'd have to think one of those reasons was this: to know in Jesus' bones himself the hunger that the world had that he was ministering to. With no energy in his body or his mind, weakness in his limbs, Jesus got to know a world that was hungry. It's no wonder that when Jesus was teaching his disciples and teaching us how to pray, he included the words, "Give us this day our daily bread." That was his worldview. We think that would be foolish. I mean, Beverly texted me yesterday and said, "What do we need?" I said, "I need bread," because she was going shopping. And you know what? If I didn't get bread, I could have had cereal, or I could have had something else. But Jesus prayed, "Give us this day our daily bread." That was his worldview. It wasn't the days of Cobb's bread or Wonder bread. Praying for our daily bread may sound ridiculous to you and I, but Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." He knew that daily bread was good news to a hungry world. Friends, since we never are going to experience hunger like that, it's maybe hard for us to relate. Jesus was meeting the needs of a hungry world. And let me move into a story that was covered in all four of the Gospels. Jesus feeds the 5,000. First of all, let me tell you this. Don't lose sight of the needs. You know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John are so different, right? They're different books. They don't all include the same stories. In fact, sometimes when Christianity is being criticized, that's one of the complaints. Why don't all the books have the same stories? Why is that the case? Well, there are two miracles of all of the miracles that Jesus performed that all four Gospels report. And one of them is feeding of the 5,000. If you let me take from all those passages, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I'm going to share from all of those perspectives today. I'll use all of the accounts in this sermon because they all tell part of the story. First of all, in Matthew's gospel and Mark's gospel, we have two separate reasons why Jesus and his disciples were out in the wilderness to begin with. Matthew's gospel reports that John the Baptist had just been beheaded, and they were devastated. They had lost a dear loved one, and they had to get away. They were stressed. They were grieving, and they went off to be on their own. And you can relate, some of you, to that. You go through a loss. Something like that takes place, and sometimes you just want to be on your own to process that. We often crave community, too, but there are times when we need that solitude. In Mark's gospel, we get a different reason, though. They're exhausted. We read that so many people have been coming to Jesus. So many people had been asking for him to minister to them. So Jesus says to his disciples, hey, you deserve a break. Let's get out of here. Let's get away from these people. Let's get away so you can be restored a little bit. Has anybody ever felt like that? Have you ever felt, if I can make it to Friday when my vacations start, I'll be okay. Otherwise, I'm in big trouble. So Jesus and his disciples, they went off to the wilderness. And the solitude was interrupted. What was it interrupted by? By 5,000 men, and then women and children as well. If you're wanting solitude, how would that have made you feel if you were those disciples? It's no wonder that they were kind of annoyed and irritated, and maybe short-tempered. How does Jesus respond to the crowd? Not with irritation. According to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus' response to the crowd is that he had compassion on them. The disciples maybe were not so compassionate. They were frustrated. They were annoyed. They had resentment and bitterness. So how does Jesus respond? Before he fed the crowd, Jesus did two things. First thing he did is he healed the sick. And the second thing he did is he taught them. He taught them. He said that they were sheep without a shepherd. He talked about them being lost and scared and vulnerable. And while one of the Gospels says that Jesus taught them many things, another specifies that he taught them about the kingdom of God. Friends, that teaching was good news for those people. They lived politically between two powers that were oppressing them. They weren't part of the crowd. They were almost servants. They were living a reality where they were beaten down, where they were not respected. They had no wealth. And Jesus was saying, you're part of God's kingdom now. You don't have to be talented. You don't have to be wealthy. You simply have to want to be a part of the kingdom. But then on that day when Jesus was ministering, it started to get late, and the disciples realized the sun was going to go down and the people wouldn't have an opportunity to get food, being a long way from their home. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us that the disciples acted out of concern for the people. I'm sure it was concern, but anyway, they approached Jesus and said, let's send them off to find food. But Jesus says, no, you feed them. The Gospel of John tells a story differently. Not necessarily contradictory, but in John's account, it's Jesus that initiates the conversation about food. He says to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? And then John provides this side note. Jesus only asked him to test him because he already had in mind what he was going to do. The disciple Philip answered Jesus, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Friends, it's interesting because Jesus asked a question at one level and Philip answers it on another level. Let me tell you what I mean. Pastor, author, seminary professor Mark Buchanan says of this exchange that Jesus was asking a where question, where can we get food? But Philip answers with a how response. How are we ever going to do that? Jesus is asking a faith question, but Philip answers it from a logistics perspective. Friends, I think that many of us miss on Christ's invitation to join him in God's mission to the broken world, because when he asks a where question, we want to answer with a how question. The need is big. You know, God puts it on our heart to meet a need, and we think, oh, how am I ever going to make it? How will my contribution ever even make a dent in that issue? No way, it's not going to happen. That's the how, friends. And when we approach the where questions that Jesus asks of us with a how answer, too often we boil it down to how are we going to get the right volunteers? How are we going to get enough volunteers? How are we going to get the right facilities? How are we going to pay for all this? Friends, I think that when we're obsessing over the how question, what we really need to do is assume that what we're really doing is we're assuming that God doesn't have the resources to meet the need, that he's unwilling to meet the needs that he's called us to help meet. And then we think, oh, it's all up to us with our resources, with our wisdom, with our smarts, with our capacities, with our church budgets to meet these needs. That's not what Jesus asked Philip, and it's not the right answer. Friends, when God asks a question of us, and we can already see it, he can already see what he wants to do. He knows what he has in mind. He's testing us. Friends, I think some of us in the Christian world miss the kingdom of God because we're asking the how question instead of the where, answering the where question. We need to be willing. Too often churches that we keep obsessing over the how, but those material material things are not the ministry. The ministry is people willing to say, I will go, send me. The next thing I want to encourage you today is to be willing to give whatever you have. Jesus asked the where question, and there's one kid in the whole group that's ready to answer that. He says, I can help. Jesus said, where are we going to get food? And Philip says, oh, we're never going to get food. And this kid said, well, I've got some food. Notice that Andrew still wants to bicker over the how. How will this little bit of food feed all these people? But Jesus kind of waved him off. He's not interested in that. He had what he needed. He had one boy willing to step forward and make a sacrifice of what he has for the sake of what Jesus was up to. Friends, all Jesus needs, get this if you would, church, all Jesus needs is for one person to say yes and to begin sacrificing towards something. That's all he needs. It's unbelievable what could happen if one person with faith will take what they have and give it. You can tell by looking at me that I don't mind eating. And I'll be honest, if I was the only one in a crowd of probably 10,000 people that have had enough foresight to pack myself a lunch, when Jesus asked for that lunch, I'd probably be making excuses as to why I couldn't give it. Oh, you know what? I think my mom's calling me. I gotta go. Sorry, my lunch is unavailable. But with one boy's willingness, the kingdom began to break out. And friends, the crowd got to see a visible demonstration of what Jesus had been teaching them. Friends, God's kingdom only needs two things. It needs someone to say, yes, I'll sacrifice what I have. And then it needs people to say, okay, I'm in on this, and to start serving the need. That's it. That's why Philippians 2:17, Paul says, even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. Why does Paul say that? He's saying, whenever I see sacrifice, whenever I see service, whenever I see people willing to give up the little that they have for the thing that God has got in his mind to do, that I know if I give myself to that, the kingdom of God goes forward. Finally today, friends, I urge you, get ready to say yes to God. Get ready to say yes to God. Where the kingdom can go forward, when the kingdom can go forward and people begin to say yes to God, not making excuses, not reducing the kingdom of God to our strategy, our resources, our wisdom, but just saying yes to God, as impractical as the request might be, we find three things start to happen. First, everybody gets what they wanted. They broke the bread and gave it out, and everybody had enough. The biblical story tells us that they all ate all they wanted. Secondly, nothing gets wasted. That's part of the story. They didn't throw out the leftovers. Nothing was wasted. And third, there's more than what we need if somebody responds in obedience. Sadly, the opposite is true, though, as well. Whenever people evade the mission of God, you'll be chronically dissatisfied. You'll never have what you want. You'll waste a lot, and you won't have enough to go around. You ask Pastor John, what are you basing that on? How do you know? Well, I was a lead pastor for 21 years, and I've seen it happen firsthand when people hold off on being obedient to God. So my question to you today about meeting the missional needs of the kingdom is this. Which mentality will you pick? The how mentality or the where mentality? I believe that Jesus Christ is speaking to the church universal, to evangel even, because I don't think we've even begun to see what God has in mind to do. And I don't think we will see it until we say, yes, God, use me. I think that this week, as every one of us is going to have, we'll all have opportunities where Christ will confront us personally, and he'll ask us a where question. Where are we gonna, where can we do, where can we go to help make this happen? Let me urge you, don't reduce that question to a how question. Because if you do, you're going to miss out on all that God wants to accomplish. Friends, if that boy hadn't stepped up offering his 5 loaves and 2 fish, where would the story have gone? I'm telling you, we wouldn't be reading it over 2,000 years later. I think we need to have the faith in the heart of that young boy and say, even though it doesn't make sense to me that you could use this measly little amount that I have, here I am, I give it to you. Friends, I'm here to tell you today that the more you get all you want, you'll have enough. Nothing's wasted and there's stuff left when we respond in obedience to God. How many of you would be willing to take the treasure that's been entrusted to you and to invest it in the kingdom, to bring increase to the value of it? How many of you would be willing to answer the Lord by saying, here I am, I don't know how you're going to use this, but I want you to use it, and I don't have to hold on to it anymore. I can give it to you. God, you already know what you want to do anyway, so here I am. Send me. Use me. Here's what I have. Friends, can I just tell you, as I came into this church, as Pastor Shannon said and as Pastor Scott said, I have somewhat of a history at this church. This was my home church for 22 years until I went off I came back as a youth pastor after Bible college, and then I went off into ministry in some other places. This morning as I came in, I was so excited to see how many were here. I was so excited to be partnering in the worship. I was so excited that the call of God that the Lord put on my dad's heart back for years before he moved to Oakville, that he came. Because I believe there's a song that you've sung in the past, and I've sung, greater things are still to come. Greater things are yet to be done in the city. And I'd say here at this church, as we respond, I was so moved this morning in worship, looking around, and I was worshiping as well, but I was just kind of looking around the congregation and seeing you worship. Friends, as you give your all, God has great things in store for you. And I don't know what the future holds for you, but I believe as we respond in obedience to the how question, God's going to meet every need. God's going to fill the church with people that don't know him, see them come to Christ and be discipled and make a difference in the world. And we can begin that response by saying, yes, use me. Take what I have, send me. Lord Jesus, I thank you today that we can look at your word and we can, Lord, we can see the work that Erdo's doing. I thank you, Lord, for the wonderful ministry that I'm involved in, Lord, through our denomination. I thank you for the great things that are going on there, but Lord, I thank you too for the great things that are happening here at Evangel. And Lord, for you don't just leave the good things that are going to happen in the past. Lord, there's a future work that you wish to accomplish. And Lord, I pray for this church. I just feel so connected to the beginnings of this church, Lord. I pray for this church that, Lord, they will continue to accomplish the how questions, they'll give the how answer when you ask the how question. Let's not ever doubt or think that we can't do anything, but Lord, let's be inspired, encouraged, believing that you have great things in store as we respond with obedience to you. We ask these things today, Lord, in your name. Amen. And friends, just as Pastor Scott says, I'm going to be at the table at the back. Love to chat with you if you have any further questions. God bless you. Pastor Scott.
Awesome. Thank you, Pastor John, for that wonderful message on what Erdo is doing around the world and how we can practically be the hands and feet of Jesus to those in need. I'm going to invite you to stand this morning. The worship team is going to close us off in one more song of worship today. And I just encourage you that as we do worship, that we just simply ask God where you are calling me. What are you putting on my heart? And may we have the courage to say yes to all that he is calling us to do. There is so much work to be done, even here in our community. So God, what is it that you are calling us to do? To be your hands and feet to those who are in need, to those who are vulnerable. Let's worship together this morning.
As I rise, strength of God, go before, lift me up. As I wake, eyes of God,
as I live.
just have a few prayer requests that I want to share before we enter into a time of prayer this morning. We want to continue to pray for Elfrida, who Pastor Shannon announced last week was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, and he was in severe pain. We also want to continue to pray for Phil Kehoe as he's waiting for results of blood work and treatment. We want to pray for Birdie White, who a couple weeks ago had a knee surgery and was admitted to the hospital on Thursday with a fractured tibia. And then we also want to pray for the family of Helga Dents. She was a big part of Time Out Ladies and here at the church as well, who passed away just this past Monday. So let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you call us in wherever we may be to the places where you would have us to go to serve your people and to build your kingdom here. And God, as we go from this place today, may we go with hearts that are touched by the message and the work that Erdo is doing. And God, I just pray that we continue to be inspired by that, however you may call us to go out. And Lord, right now we lift up Elfrida to you, who has been suffering from severe pain for quite some time now. And Jesus, to have this diagnosis placed on her, God, there's fear and there's uncertainty. And there's questions, God, about why. But Lord, I just pray that during this time, you give her peace and freedom from the pain that she's been experiencing, Lord Jesus. God, as well, we lift up Phil to you, and I just pray for good results for his blood work treatment. And Lord, I pray you continue to protect him and heal him, Lord Jesus. God, for Birdie, who's in the hospital right now, Lord, I just pray for a swift recovery from the surgery that she had 2 weeks ago that is still causing her pain and the fracture that she is experiencing right now. God, I pray for next steps. Lord, I pray you give peace to her and to Ron as well, Lord Jesus. May they have a clear path forward. May the doctors and the nurses be blessed as they help guide them on to the next steps for this. And Lord, we also lift up the family of Helga, Lord Jesus. God, I just pray for peace, for your Holy Spirit to intervene during this time of grief. And Lord, may you surround them with family and loved ones right now who can support them during this time. And God, in all things, may you continue to guide us. As we go from this place this morning, Jesus, may your Spirit go with us. May you protect us and watch over us in the week ahead. We love you, Jesus. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless, church. Don't forget to stop by the table back there and speak to John for a few minutes. I definitely encourage you to do that. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.